Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday, live at Circa Sports in Kentucky at the Mint at Kentucky Downs. Saw a text on our text line about coming up here this weekend and had a good time. So definitely want to check it out. It's right off the interstate, just over the state line in Portland, Tennessee. You actually get off the interstate in Tennessee and then cross over right here at Kentucky Downs. But now we say hello to our man John McClain joining us from Houston, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW. John, how are you? We are doing fantastic. So Mike Vrabel comes in here, does what we all thought he was going to do, beats the Titans 31-13. The Titans put up some fight in the first half, but once again, Cam Ward had a hard time hanging on to the football, and that is a concern. But I'm not ready to write him off and say he's a bust yet. What about you?
Well, anybody that says he's a bust, doesn't know football, is clueless about the history of football. He may turn out to be, and I tell you guys this, I've covered the NFL now 49 years, and I've seen a few that you could tell were going to be a bust, but it had to do if they were lazy or if they were not very smart and had trouble learning. Like, I have never seen a quarterback at the combine, you know, they measure quarterbacks' hands. And sometimes people in the media will freak out because a quarterback doesn't have big hands. And as I pointed out, never have I ever seen a player who didn't pan out and somebody say, oh, my God, it's because his hands are too small. And those are things. I think the ball slipped out of his hand, what, twice?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave Craig, who had a cup of coffee up there, had small hands and had more fumbles than I think any quarterback in history. Now, most of those, of course, you got to hit. But he managed to play about 15 years. And problem with the Titans is they can't stop the games at halftime. What was the crowd like? Was it three quarters full, half full? I mean, Patriot, were there a big contingent of Patriot fans there?
It was about 80% full, and it was about 65% Patriot fans.
How many of those, I wonder, were Titans fans just cheering for Vrabel because they're so frustrated with the Titans who now, since they fired Vrabel, have won fewer games than Mike has won this year.
Yeah. Oh, look, and they chanted. I mean, it was Patriots fans, Titans fans, but there was a loud, audible chant for Vrabel that you could hear on the TV at the end of the game. And then as he ran off the field, I mean, this is what they're going to have to deal with right now. And I don't know that it gets better until they bring in the right coaching staff, competent people to run this team, and then ultimately they start winning.
Well, of course, it's not going to get much better this season. Now, turnovers sometimes, ball slipping out of your hand, some of the turnovers can be prevented that are made by dumb decisions. One of the things always bothered me, and there's nothing you can do about it, I remember one year Dan Pastorini and another year Warren Moon. They threw a lot of interceptions for the Times. And I chalk up, if I can tell, if a receiver went off his hands, or if I try to find out if the receiver ran the wrong route, and nobody's ever going to tell you on the record. Usually you have to try to get somebody to tell you off the record, like an assistant coach, or if a receiver would do it. And it's amazing how many interceptions are thrown by quarterbacks that are the receiver's fault. And I'm not saying that's the case with Cam Ward. He's a rookie. You know, if you look at his stats, what was the long pass he threw for a touchdown in the first, I think it was the first, first half, at least, to the guy who caught his first touchdown pass.
Yeah, it's Chip DK, yeah.
Yeah, you won't see anybody throw a prettier pass than that, so he can do it. But, you know, when you give a quarterback, a rookie, and you make a change during the season, you're just asking for trouble. You're asking for a lack of improvement. That's what happened, I think, to the last four first overall picks who were quarterbacks. They fired their coaches during the season. And then there goes your play caller, even though they've got another play caller. It's kind of weird that the head coach now doesn't call plays and the offensive coordinator is not calling plays.
It is. I'm talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, let me ask you this. On New Year's Eve 1980, Bud Adams fired Bum Phillips. Did Bud Adams ever regret firing Bum Phillips?
Bud fired Bum. Well, I'm sure he did because the team was terrible from after 1980. They went 11-5. They lost at Oakland in the wild card round. And that's 3 years in a row they lost in the playoffs to the eventual Super Bowl champion. But what Bud had and what most owners have when they fire coaches is somebody in their ear that they trust who's telling them they should fire this coach because it could benefit this person. And that was Lad Herzig, who was their financial guy who'd come from Cleveland. And he was in Bud Adams' ear telling them that Bum Phillips was mortgaging the future and that they weren't going any farther with Phillips. And somehow he convinced, along with their backstabbing defensive coordinator, Eddie Biles, convinced Bud that they were not going to win more with Bum. They fired him. Herzig was named general manager. He was 34 years old. And Biles was promoted. And then they lost. They were god-awful. And they weren't. They were 581. A 2, a 3, a 4, a 5, and 86. They never won more than five games.
Gosh.
And it was a morbid time in the history of this franchise. Did he regret it? I'm sure he did. Would he have ever said that? Absolutely not.
Is that, I mean, are we going through a deja vu now, kind of what you experienced with them back in 81 through 85 and 86 right now, because all the firing and the people being let go, it seems like there's this pattern within the family.
Well, you guys don't know what it's like to suffer up there. You think you do. Yeah, you try covering a team that for 6 years in a row doesn't have a winning record, 5 years in a row, they don't win more than five games. And the highlight of the year is the draft. Now, Lad Herzig, to his credit, he hired Mike Olivak, one of the all-time personnel guys, who ended up being the GM. He should never have been the GM. But Mike was a great personnel guy. And they used those number one picks, starting with Mike Munchak, 82, Bruce Matthews, 83. 1984, they signed Warren Moon, 85, Ray Childress. Haywood Jeffries, 87. They hit with all their first-round picks, and those guys were good. And starting in 87, they went to the playoffs, a league-best seven consecutive years, but they still couldn't get out of the divisional round of the playoffs. We have not had, you guys have had, when I say y'all don't know suffering, Vrabel got the Titans in the AFC Championship game. Jeff Fisher got him in the Super Bowl. We in Houston have not had a team reach the AFC Championship game since the Oilers in 1962 when they lost in double overtime to the Dallas Texans, knee the Kansas City Chiefs.
Woo, that's a long time. I hope it doesn't take that long. And with that being bad, John, let me ask you this. Some have said, all right, if it gets worse, kind of take Cam Ward out of this. I'm all the mind, keep Cam Ward in there. I mean, he's learning. Even though they're losing, John, he's learning. I see no scenario of taking Cam Ward out of the game anytime soon just because he needs to learn. I mean, he's going to learn under fire. This is fire.
You watch some of those passes he makes. Does Justin Fields make those passes?
No.
He deserves to be benched. Tua Tagovailoa, six interceptions the last two games. He deserves to be benched. He's not. There's some quarterbacks who are just helpless. Justin Fields being a great example. and there are others that are going to make changes. But no, Ward, if you see Ward go out there and throw 6 inches a game and go to the bench and sit and look at the ground and not talk to coaches, but he'll, that's not his personality, you won't see it. If they see him losing confidence and making throws that he would not throw ordinarily, that is an example of losing confidence. You haven't seen that with Cam Ward. I don't think you will see it. And as we used to say in Houston, and people will laugh about this, you know, would you guys like to see him win in 4 or 5 games? But what good is that going to do? Yeah. It'll get people fired up for tomorrow. And nobody will agree with me on this, but as someone who has covered a lot of teams that made the playoffs, if you're going to be bad, be all the way bad.
If you're going to be bad, be good at it.
Think about the draft and what's coming.
Do you think New England is maybe better than we had thought they were going to be? They're 5-2, they've won 4 in a row, and they're atop the AFC East right now.
Absolutely, they're better. I don't expect them to beat the Bills. And the thing that happened, and Vrabel, you know, he should thank him he had him strung, because this organization, what were those 3 number one picks in a row? Isaiah Wilson, the cornerback, and
Caleb Traylon
Burks.
Yep.
Yeah, Caleb Farley. When you have 3 number one picks in a row like that, that is, you know, that sets back your organization. And the thing that Mike had, he walked into a situation where they had a really good young quarterback, and they had more cap dollars to spend than any team in the league. And then now they still have the most cap dollars, so they're going to go on a second consecutive spending spree. And plus, he knew the owner. He walked in to an ideal situation, plus an easier schedule in a bad division. And so whether they can sustain it probably depends on injuries. You know, Drake may get hurt, and all of a sudden, you know, they're not going to be nearly as good. But it's a great situation for Vrabel, and he was smart not to take a job last year.
We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe live at Circa Kentucky. 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday, continuing our conversation with John McClain, brought to you by Maple Street Biscuit Company, Wake Up to Wow. John, we got 2 Monday night games tonight, the Bucks and the Lions, and, of course, the Texans out in Seattle to take on the Seahawks. I want to start with the Tampa Bay-Detroit game. Is Baker Mayfield, in your mind, a true MVP contender?
Absolutely. Should be the MVP if it was named right now, based on what he's done for that team, with his two top receivers have been out since the second game. He's had playing without 2 starting offensive linemen, 3 at times. And every game, even the one that they lost, I believe he was thrown to the end zone and the ball was tipped and it was intercepted in the end zone. So you can't count him out at any point. I don't think Tampa Bay is going to the Super Bowl, but right now I think they're as good as any team in the league. And if they go into Detroit and beat the Lions, and I'm picking the Lions, but if they do, my goodness, Kansas City is the team that's impressing everybody the most right now. But if indeed the Buccaneers go to Detroit and win, people are going to be talking about them like no other.
Oh, I agree with you. And then what do you make of the Texans heading to Seattle tonight to take on the Seahawks in the late game?
Everybody in Houston is talking about how important this game is for the Texans, because they've had 5 really good quarters. 1, the 4th quarter against the Titans, and then the last game against the Ravens. The Titans are terrible. The Ravens are terrible, so Seattle is really good. Now, the Seahawks have been awful at home over the last 2 seasons. They've been fabulous on the road, so everybody's eager to see, can the Texans beat the Seahawks? Shock the world that they're back. If this offense plays great and they win the game, and I pick Seattle by 7, then I'm going to be a believer that the Texans are back. Otherwise, the Colts are going to run away with the AFC South and have it clinched by Thanksgiving.
We're talking to John McClain on the Chase and McJoe Show. John, let's talk about those Colts for a second. Sitting there at 6-1, I mean, to say they're playing for their late owner, man, that's an understatement. They're a good football team that nobody saw happening.
Nobody, because they didn't have a quarterback. You know, you talk about a guy that's positioned himself to make a lot of money. They got Daniel Jones 1 year, $10 million, and he is having a season, well, just like Sam Darnold did last year, and I think Sam Darnold got, what, $40 million? So he's positioned himself to make a lot of money, and he's earning it. They've got the highest scoring team. They seldom punt. He's only been sacked 6 times in 7 games, and if you protect your quarterback like that, you're going to win.
Oh, absolutely. And, John, I mean, can we discount, I mean, the emotional part of this playing for your late owner, who evidently everybody on the organization seem, at least they say they love the guy. Now he passes away, and they're sitting there at the top football team in the league. I just think there's a great story here if this team goes all the way.
Yeah, I think they're playing more for his daughter, who's been on the sideline for the last 2 or 3 years during games wearing headsets, because she says, if you're going to pay people millions and millions of dollars, you want to know why you're paying them. And I think that's really smart. No other owner does that. Probably shouldn't give Jerry Jones any ideas. At one point early in Jerry's tenure, he was called down with plays from his suite to Jimmy Johnson. And, of course, Jimmy just laughed about it. But the Colts, the biggest deal, their offensive line's playing great. Jonathan Taylor has 3 touchdowns in 3 different games, 10 on the season, and the fact that the defense is playing really good, and they convert. I'm guessing they're probably number one in red zone touchdowns, because I haven't seen a Colts team score like this since Peyton Manning was there, and this team is higher scoring at this point of the season than any team Peyton quarterback.
That's quite a stat. John, we see something every weekend in the NFL we've never seen before. That fourth quarter, the Denver Giants game yesterday, holy cow, John, 33 points, Denver wins.
Tell you, they honored the 10-year anniversary of Super Bowl 50 champion. Gary Kubiak was the head coach. Wade Phillips was defensive coordinator. They had 6 other former Texans coach on that staff, and they went up there and honored Demaryius Thomas, who was another former Texan, had a cup of coffee after he left there. But I'll guarantee you, everybody in that suite was thinking, man, I wish I could go in the fourth quarter. They trailed by 18 points. In the last 5:31, there were 4 touchdowns and a field goal scored. I've never seen anything like it. I thought, sure, the Giants were going to come away with the upset. And that was, they calling it the Mile High Miracle.
John McClain is with us here on Chasing Big Joe. Brian Callahan was the first to get fired. Is Mike McDaniel next?
He sure looks like it. He's having problems with Tua. You know, Brian Callahan was on Gary Kubiak's staff. I'm sure he had not committed to go into that celebration because he had a job, but I wonder if at the last minute he was able to call and say, hey, if you got a spot for me, save it, I'll be there. And Gary Kubiak always was very high on Callahan as an offensive coach, but I think McDaniel's going to be next. I think without a doubt that team is horrendous. He's not handling very well. It looks like the team has quit on him, and that is the last thing a head coach can afford is if the owner, in this case Stephen Ross, believes that his team has quit on him.
Is that a good job, knowing that they have to pay Tua, so you're probably stuck with Tua to this point?
They can get out of it after next season, but if they have a chance to draft a quarterback, I'm sure they're going to do it. You know, it's not like Tua's gone down to – he's playing bad, but remember the first 2 years McDaniel was there? Tua looked really good. Remember that game they scored 70 points against Denver? And Tua needs a new zip code, and they need to play, be able to play without him. And I think you'll find them drafting the quarterback low. Or, well, no, they're going to be picking high, and I think we'll all see them have another quarterback.
I feel like I ask you this a lot, but this is the life I chose for myself at a young age when I liked that team with a star on their helmet. What the hell are the Cowboys right now?
They're a great passing team. They're a good enough running team. If they hadn't let Rico Dowdle go, they would have the most balanced offense in the league. But, man, oh, man, they've been outstanding throwing. Pickens has been great. CeeDee Lamb came back yesterday. He was great. They're capable of beating anybody. And with Jaden Daniels injured again and the Commanders not playing very well anyway, there's a good chance the Cowboys still could earn a wild card berth. I'm not going to say they're going to win the NFC East. But if Dak stays healthy, remember, the last 5 seasons he's played every game or almost every game they've been in the playoffs. And right now that passing game is a Super Bowl caliber passing game. Unfortunately, their defense is toilet bowl.
We will see how it all shakes out. Enjoy watching the late one tonight between the Texans and the Seahawks. Maybe a little Game 7 at the same time as well, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. I appreciate it very much, as always.
That is John McClain joining us from Houston, and he is presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake Up to WOW joins us every Monday at 2 o'clock and helps us react to the Titans and the rest of the National Football League. I know I'm starting to kind of get an idea of what jobs are going to be open this year. I definitely think Miami, Titans obviously is already open. I still think the Giants could be. Time will tell. Dart looks pretty good.
He does.
And that's going to help Daboll.
I think Arizona job will be open. I mean, Arizona. They're 2-5, and he's complaining about being tough and losing the tough ones. And I think, all right, nobody even knows that guy's name. They're 2-5. I think he could be gone. I mean, we were in Vegas. People aren't happy with Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Not at all happy with Pete Carroll. They looked awful yesterday versus the Chiefs yesterday. So there might be one there. Of course, Cleveland goes on. What's going to happen there?
I think that's open.
And so forth and so on. Man, boy.
I think New Orleans could be, too, 1-done.
It's pretty bad. There's no talent there.
I mean,
there.
Is Aaron Glenn 1-done, or does he get a little bit of a reprieve because they were just that roster was so bad?
Well, think about it. If they fire Aaron Glenn, what is that? You're not in New York. What does that seem like to you in Nashville? Like, God, they don't know what they're doing up there.
Yeah, exactly.
And then everybody outside Nashville looking at the Titans like, God, they really don't know what they're doing in Nashville.
I will say this, and I'm going to get pushback on this. If they did fire Aaron Glenn, I'd call Aaron Glenn. I think he's a good coach.
I'm pushing you back right now. I don't want him here.
Okay. Well,
I got my mind.
He's not at the top of my list, right. But I would still.
Who's at the top of your list right now?
Arthur.
Yeah. Mine too.
And then probably Nagy.
Yep.
Arthur, Nagy, Sala.
That's it. Exactly. That's
right
there.
Right now, that's my list. Mm-hmm. Now, if John Harbaugh or Mike Tomlin became available, okay, that might change that list
a little bit. Would Tomlin want to come here?
No.
I mean,
I think he'd go into
that?
TV.
Yeah. Let Art come here and deal with this nonsense that he knows so well.
Yep. 615-737-1025. We'll come back. We'll react to the Titans, Vandy, and all of that here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.